All right.
Hello,
Hello, everybody. Y'all come on in. This is the maintenance call. Let me get my little windows set up over here. It's easier for me to do it. Y'all ever wonder, like, this is my camera where I look at y'all. Then I have a huge monitor over here because I'm a Magoo. I have to be able to see. And for some reason, this monitor has more landscape than this monitor, so I can actually read again over here. So, what I want to start with is making sure that anybody who wants coached, please go ahead and raise your hand. This is y'all's dedicated maintenance call that we do every month. And so, I need to see who all's going to want coaching because we're only going to go as long as people want coaching. Otherwise, I don't want to, I don't want to waste y'all's time or anything. So, we can keep calls shorter if they need to be. So, we've got a couple people. So, let's go with Jean first. And we will get started for the day. If you're on the last call, I just ate my breakfast. It's a very productive 25 minutes. Made my breakfast, ate it, checked on my son, talked to my husband, came back downstairs, actually answered a couple of work questions, and now we're starting. All right, Jean, we need to get your camera going. There you go. All right, what you want
Thanks.
coaching on?
You coached me about 8, 10 weeks ago, and you said for me to come back.
Okay. Let's go.
And so what I've noticed is I think I've lost my hunger and enough. What I used to feel was like a good letting me know that I was hungry. It's not there anymore. It's changed, and I don't know. I feel like I've lost it.
Where'd it
Where'd it
go?
go? Oh, in the back of my mind.
So you haven't lost it. If it's in the back of your mind, it's there. So where did it go if you lost it?
It got real quiet. I'm not listening. I'm not hearing it as well as I used to.
Oh, wait a minute. No. You said the magic words. I haven't lost it. I'm not listening for it.
Yes.
Womp, womp. Just notice how easy it is to say, I've lost it. As if, like, well, nothing I can do about it if it's lost. But if I'm not listening for it, I need to know why am I choosing to not listen now? Let's talk about that. Why do you think that's happening?
I'm kind of maybe because I'm afraid of what it's going to say.
All right, let's think about it. What are you afraid it could say? Do you want to pick one side or the other? Is there one you're particularly not listening to more than the other, or is it equal?
Well, we did the overeats, and then it was like, well, was I full that I overate? I don't know if I was even full. So, did that mean I overate or? Was I overeating because I didn't realize I was full? And
Okay.
then my schedule varies, so I want to be able to keep with the I want to be able to be flexible, but I also want to listen because there are some days I am busy from morning to dawn, and the next day I am like so hungry on everything. Or sometimes that day it's like, oh man, I need real, and then I'm like, am I not hearing it? Am I ignoring it? And when am I not listening to it?
Well, I think you've already said you aren't listening for it. If you're listening for it, we don't have a problem. Now, sometimes you might not agree with it. Sometimes you might override it. You might choose different. So, what do you think is really going on here?
I'm afraid to listen to it.
Why? What's the bad thing that happens when you listen to hunger?
Really nothing. It's time to eat. Sometimes I'm at a spot where I can't eat
Okay.
or
That's fine. I was in a spot that I couldn't eat this morning.
I
I feared it I didn't get like, oh my God, I'm afraid to listen to Hunger now. Like, why would that have anything to, like, why would you be afraid to listen for Hunger if you have times where you just can't eat? I have that like 3 times a week. I've got 3 days a week that, like, my schedule is all over the place. And I'm probably not going to get to eat unless I am prepared for it. Like, I know on Tuesdays, I have got to plan to eat at certain times. Because when I would naturally get hungry, I will not be able to eat for hours on end. So I on those days, it's like I have to listen to a different version of hunger. I have to like anticipate, oh, I'm going to be in meetings for 4 straight hours. So if I don't eat at 8 o'clock, I won't eat until 3 o'clock. So I'm going to know that I would normally get hungry. So now I'm just going to eat during this time. That's listening to hunger too. Listening to hunger is not always just waiting for the body signal. It's also listening for common sense. Common sense says if you have a day where you know you can't eat, you have to pre-eat. It's like if you're a surgeon and you got to do a 12-hour surgery and you're not hungry for breakfast, what's better for who do you want operating on you? A surgeon who's like, well, I wait for the physical signs of hunger. And so, even if I'm in the middle of a brain surgery, everybody stop. I gotta eat. My belly starts to grumble. Or I'm just gonna push through because I'm not actually hungry at 6 a.m. Would you rather have a surgeon who went in prepared or a surgeon who was like, there's nothing I can do about it?
Prepared.
Exactly.
Oh, I lifeguard, so I have to be on deck for 3 hours. It's very hot in there. And if I don't eat before I go, then it's not only affecting me, it's affecting my job, which affects others. So you have to make, so I do those. So I'm already,
Okay.
yeah, I do that. And then the next day it's like, oh man, you did so well yesterday. I said, yeah, I did. I can do well today, but then I just don't.
Why?
Because I did so well, I feel like I need to pro be. I deserve it. I don't know. I'm.
Think about it. You tell yourself, yeah, you did do really well today. Let's do well again today. And then your brain goes, what? It'll say, but something.
Oh, it's just one day. You can blow it off today.
Okay. Now, what do you say after that?
I have a goal.
Do you say that? I'm asking you what you actually say.
What I actually say? Sometimes
Yeah.
it's like, oh, I can do this, and this, or I can eat this, and this, or it's like, no, you need, I mean, I go on both spectrums. Sometimes I'm good, and sometimes it's like, nah, let's just eat it all.
So
Well, it's
why do
not
you
even
think
just
you want?
eat it all. It's not that I like eat at once. I eat a little bit, and I eat a little bit more, and then I graze.
So let's really think about that. Why do you think if you had to intellectualize what's happening, why do you think on those days when you've had a day where you've done really well or whatever's happening on the day before, on the second day that you give yourself permission to graze. Like, what do you think it's doing for you?
Well, I know it's not doing anything for me, but in my mind, I'm thinking.
No. It's doing something for you. This is really important for you to understand. You wouldn't do it unless it was doing something for you. There is a payoff that's happening. Now, it may not pay off with weight loss or maintenance. But there's a payoff that's happening, and until we know it, we won't be able to stop the behavior because we have to know why something's happening for you. Just like if I overeat because let's say my partner dies, let's say Chris dies, and every night I'm laying in bed and I am painfully missing him, and I start eating. And let's say I gain 100 pounds back. That eating did something for me. It made me get through the night when I was missing him. Now, does it help me remain a weight loss guru? Does it help me stay healthy? No. Those are the things it doesn't do for me. But one of the biggest mistakes that we all make is villainize our overeating, villainize our grazing, and like insist it's doing nothing for me. It's like you wouldn't do it if it wasn't doing something for you. Otherwise, you'd be like, bitch, I got goals. Like if your brain was like, we should eat, you'd be like, no, we shouldn't. And here's all the reasons why. And it would be like, oh, okay, because there was nothing in it for you. That would be an easy conversation to have. But when it's not an easy conversation and you keep doing it, there's always a really good reason why it's happening. And when we know it, now we can really be able to have the conversation we need to have. So let's just imagine that there's a good reason why. So you said on the first day, what did you mean by doing good? Like you missed meals and didn't overeat? Like what are we talking about that sets you up for day two to be a graze day?
Well, usually when I have to work, I know I have to eat at 9 because I'm going to be unavailable for 3 hours. Well, actually, more than that, because you have to get ready and all that. So for
Do you
those
eat
hours, I.
breakfast at 9?
Yes. On those
Okay.
days, I do. I normally don't eat till like 11 or 12. But on
Okay.
those days, I eat earlier.
We eat at 9 o'clock. And then
And then
what?
after I'm done, I always bring a lunch so I know when I'm done because then I'm going to be starved again.
Okay. And
It's a
what
lot
time
of
is that usually?
3.
Okay. So you go 6 hours.
And
You may
then
want to just, and I'm going to just say this, you may just want to eat a little extra breakfast because 6 hours is not like you shouldn't be starving at 6 hours.
okay.
Most people, when they eat to enough, should be able to get about a good 4 to 6 hours out of it. You should be rolling into that meal hungry, but not starving, depleted.
That's what I've been trying. I've kind of, I was like, maybe I need to be eating more than what I am. And you were making a comment on the food plans that, oh, these people, they're hardly ever eating anything. And I'm thinking, I'm wondering, because at night I was having the problem at night, I'd be so hungry because I didn't think I probably had, my body was saying, you probably didn't eat enough during the day, even though I thought I was eating too enough.
Okay, so we eat again at 3, and then when do we eat again?
5 with the family.
3, and then okay, all right. I was like, wow, you must be eating nothing at 3 o'clock if you're starving again by 5.
No, I'm not starving at 5, no.
Okay, all right. And then the next day is that, and you call that day what? Being
Good.
good? Okay, so this is the definition of being good. Is eating at 9, 3 o'clock. We're prepared to eat because we know we've been a while, and then we're going to eat with our family at dinner at 5. And we say, like, all right, I was good today. One thing I would say is stop calling that good because you're not a more like the main thing is like, I don't know if you believe in God, but I always like to use this example because when it comes to morality, I guarantee you that when you die, whatever you believe in and whatever the next thing is, they're not going to say, like, you get in because here's all the days that you were good with your food. Has nothing to do with that. It's just like, if you didn't do this, the police aren't coming to arrest you. You didn't break laws. So when we keep saying, I was good, all I would say is, like, all right, I took care of myself today. Good to know. So the next day, how am I going to take care of myself? I always think that when it comes to being good, there's also pressure behind it to be good. A lot of times what I notice in y'all is that like, if you're saying like, I was good today, so I want to be good tomorrow, there's almost like a subtle pressure that's like circulating underneath.
That's a
Like I've got
revelation.
to, yeah, because it's like, I've got to perform again. Instead of just, I got to take care of myself. Like that's what I'm trying to do every day. So let's say that this is, you took good care of yourself. You're like, I've got a rhythm now. On busy days. This is how I make sure I get enough food, and I've got it timed. I've done the things. On the second day, what does that day have to do with your eating on the next day in your mind?
I need to make up for what I didn't do yesterday.
What did you not do the day before?
I stayed on plan. I worked with it.
Right, I
I'm also
understand
tired
that.
from working.
Okay, so you're
So.
tired, but what do you have to, like when you say, it's just interesting that that's your thought. On the second day, I've got to make up for something from the day before. What are we making up? Like what was missing on the 9 a.m., 3 p.m., 5 p.m. eating day? What was missing that you've got to make up for it on the second day?
I didn't have easy access to food.
Do what?
I didn't have easy access to food. I think
I
it's
think you
that.
did. You brought your food with you at 3 p.m. At 9, you made sure you ate and you're eating with your family. How, tell me how that's not easy access to food.
Because I couldn't graze.
Okay, but did you want to graze?
No.
Well, that's good to know that that's not even something you want to be doing.
Then why do I do it?
Tell me. Probably because you're thinking that you should have a green light to graze. If you think grazing is like a rite of passage, if you think grazing is like, I got to make up for my inability to graze, I want to be a grazer, then yeah, you missed out on that. And the next day, you're going to want to plug that in. So why do you want to graze? Let's figure that out because that must be something you want if you say I gotta make up for it because it's missing in my life. So why do you think you want to be a grazer? What is grazing doing for you?
I'm hypoglycemic, and if you don't eat so often, and there have been times where I've pushed it too far, and then I'm like, okay, and I'm trying not to get there to get to the hangry stage where I literally am headaches and lightheadedness and all that.
Okay.
So I think that's one of the reasons why I'm afraid of enough is because it's like then it will keep me from.
Wait a minute. You switched gears. Now we're talking about enough instead of grazing.
But if you're grazing, you never, because you only eat a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, you don't really get to that full, not full, to that satisfied enough.
Wait a minute. Say that one more time. If I graze, I never get to feel like I ate enough food.
Correct, because you're
That's what
not.
you just told me. Like, I want you to hear me when I say this. I love it when we talk out loud what we're actually thinking, because then we are like, well, that might not be a great idea. If I don't graze, I don't like grazing allows me to never feel like I got enough food.
Boy, that doesn't make much sense. But I did have enough food.
How many times on the 3 or the 9 a.m., 3 p.m., and 5 p.m. times have you had a hypoglycemic event?
None. Oh,
Okay.
once I did.
Once out of probably how many times?
A lot. Well,
Hundreds? How long? Let me ask you this. How long have you been doing no BS?
4 years.
Okay. And how long have you been doing this 9, 3, and 5 thing? and probably in the last year.
I just started doing this in the last year.
Okay, so how many times? There's 300 something times in a year. When'd you
I do
start
it twice a week, twice to three times a week,
it?
during the school
Okay.
year. So not that many. No, let me see. That'd be
No, it's probably more than you think. Probably plenty of
my 30.
reps. Let's say it's 40, just 40 days out of the year you've done this.
Okay.
Out of those 40 times this year you've done this, how many hypoglycemic events did you have?
One.
One out of 40. So here's what I want you to just know. Is that you've tied number one, grazing to a life-threatening event. When you wonder, why would I be doing this? It's doing nothing for me. It's creating safety. When your brain thinks, without grazing, I could have a life-threatening event. Having a hypoglycemic moment, your brain catalogs as life-threatening. You could fall, like hit your head and die. Right? So now we know when you say, like, it's doing nothing for me. Well, when you make grazing an important part of staying alive, I really think it's doing something for you. Just want to offer that. What we want to do is tie grazing to what it's also doing. It's also, I never get to feel like I ate enough food. I never get the satisfaction of a meal. I never get to feel the safety of knowing I actually did have enough food to keep me safe. I don't get that on grazing days. You probably get shame. You probably get resentment. You probably get a lot of like frustration and confusion about why you do it, but you're not actually getting the payoff you want. So we've got to think about this question. How can I create safety around hypoglycemia that doesn't require grazing? Like, what other way of eating would be so much better for my hypoglycemia than to just be grazing all day?
Well, you made a comment earlier that if you're eating to satisfy or eating to enough, that it should last 4 to 6 hours. So there should be, if I'm eating enough, then that would make it last to the 4 to 6 hours. So that shouldn't be a problem. So does
Yeah.
that mean I'm not eating enough?
39 out of 40 times, you're doing just fine. For some
Okay.
reason, you had one time that you're saying makes all the times it worked, throw that away. We got to guard against the one time. And wh I would guarantee you, if we went back and looked at the one time, it might have nothing to do with this. Do you remember what happened that day? Like exactly what you ate and how much and at what times?
No, I don't.
Exactly. You probably right now have so much evidence that when you don't graze and you actually do it the way I'm asking you to do it, as you're currently doing it, that you don't have hypoglycemic events.
When you put it down to statistics, it's like your brain's going, "Oh, you got to watch this all the time." But when I'm thinking about it, it just was that one time, but and I survived that one time, so it's not.
Right. You survived. What did you do when you had it?
Well, by the time I got home, I was done. I shouldn't have probably driven myself home, but I did. And then of course, I ate.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh my God. So you're having a hypoglycemic event and you decided to push hunger more?
Well, my food was at home. I forgot it that day.
Okay. That's good to know that it had nothing to do with enough. It had nothing to do with you eating intentionally. You went too long. You actually went too long without food because you forgot food. I just want you to see, like, you do remember the event now. And the event had nothing to do with the four basics. It had nothing to do with you not knowing what enough is. It had nothing to do with anything of like, I didn't eat. I left my food at home. I like actually missed the plan I made for myself to not have this. That's what screwed me up. So I don't need to like question, do I know how to stop it enough? I don't need to question what I'm doing and stuff. Because it has like the problem was none of this.
Ding, 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 ding.
Okay. So now what do you think is the next step?
I don't know.
Well, I can't give it to you. You've got to give it to me. You're the only one that knows your life. You're the only one that knows your blood sugar. You're the only one that knows your hunger and enough signals. There's no way for me to give you the next step. So we're going to have to sit here and wait until your brain solves the problem of how do I, after the day that I work and I eat at 9, 3, and 5, how the next day do I stop grazing? Because that's the only thing we have to solve.
Well, I try to wait to well, I'm hungry again. But I also do it on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so I'm and it's usually the Wednesdays that's my hard day. But I'm not really hungry at night, so I don't really want to eat breakfast. But then when I do eat breakfast, then I'm just like over if because I usually like between 11 and 12, then I'm like super hungry, and it's like almost like I can't close the refrigerator door fast enough.
Tell me again. So on, I think I know what's happening on Wednesday. If on Tuesday and Thursday you're eating regular meals, like your brain has it that somehow Tuesdays and Thursdays are hard days for you. Is that fair to say or no? Like, what do
Yes.
you think about the Tuesdays and Thursdays eating pattern?
It's I've made it doable.
Okay, so when we think about Tuesdays and Thursdays, if I'm eating at 9, 3, and 5, your opinion is that's very doable. No stress. I love it. I don't hate it. There's no problem.
Correct.
Okay. Then Wednesday, why do you still feel like you need to, like in your mind, on Wednesday is so different? Like, if you, let's say you start eating at 11 o'clock. It's 11. It's time for me to eat. Walk me through what happens when you eat. Because you said something about I can't close the fridge fast. I don't understand what's happening.
Once I start eating, it's a hard time stopping. It's like, oh
Why
man,
do
oh
you
no,
think?
I'm not full enough. I'm not full enough. I'm not full enough. And it's like,
And
yeah,
why
you
are you
should be.
not? But right, I understand you should be, but why in your brain do you think you're not full enough?
Because I didn't eat enough.
Don't guess. I want you to tell me. Like, why do you want to keep eating? Why do you want to keep eating past enough at this point? What do you think is going to happen if you don't?
Well, part of me is it's not going to be there when I come back, which is ridiculous. Not ridiculous. It's just, it's a lot of times I'll have something planned and then I'll go to get it and it's not in the refrigerator.
Where'd it
Somebody else.
go?
Oh, I have other people that live here that eat it.
And have you
I
told them
and
it's
a
your
husband.
food? Yeah, have you
Huh?
told him that's your food? Have you told him that's your food?
I have stickers on stuff.
Right, but
It's
have you
just.
spoken the words and said, hey, I'm going to let you know this is my food, and I tend to overeat if you eat my food. I really look forward to this, and this is what I've planned to eat. And when you eat it, it's really hard for me to lose my weight. It's hard for me to manage my hypoglycemia. It's hard for me for whatever reasons you have. I'm going to need you to eat anything in this fridge but this. And I've clearly labeled it. So if you want something, get something else or tell me what you want. I'll make you something and I will put a sticker on it for you. But what can't keep happening is you eating what I plan because that's making it harder on me to eat. And I want all of us to have an easy eating experience. We can't just have hubby eating easy and me eating hard anymore. Have you had that conversation yet?
Yes.
Okay, what'd he
Well,
say?
there was nothing else to eat. Well, what do you want? So.
Okay. Well, when ask, this is what I would say, like, all right, so when there's nothing else to eat, what do you think you need to do other than eating my food? Like, what can
That's
we
a good.
do to help you have food so that my food isn't what you eat, and then there's nothing else for me to eat? Have you had that conversation?
No, not
Well,
yet.
let's have that one.
Not yet.
Yeah, let's just solve it that way. Because I think he just needs to see. It's like, I get it. And I would say, like, I really get it. It sucks when there's nothing for you to eat because that's what happens to me every time you eat my food. You made it easy on you, and now I'm stuck trying to figure it out. And I would just tell him, I'm going to be really honest. I freak out when I don't have enough food. I tend to overeat. And the next thing I know, I feel bad about it. It's probably 1,000 times harder on me than it ever is for you. So, can I buy things to have in this house? Can I prep you something so that we both have something? Here's an easy solution. So, because I just cooked for my boys all through my weight loss, because I was like, I got to make this easy on Corinne. I can't have them eating my shit and me not having food. I knew me, I was too weak to figure it out. In those moments, I would just eat whatever was available. And I would go to McDonald's if I had to. And I finally decided, here's the easiest way for me to do this. Everybody has food for them, and I make all of it because now I'm in control. And so if you already know your husband is willing to eat your food, make two every day. You're making one, why not make two? And then you can label both of them, mine and yours. And you just tell him, I've solved the problem. I never want to walk in this fridge. Go ahead.
We actually have Rubbermaid lids. Reds are mine and blue is his. And it's inevitably how my red one is the first one to be eaten. He'll eat mine so he can have more for him.
I have you talked to him about it and been honest about, like, are you just sitting there resenting it and taking it in the ass and overeating? Are you actually doing what's hard in marriage? Sitting down your partner and telling them exactly how you feel.
Yes, we did. That's why we got the two different things. And then it's like, would you please not eat it? So then our daughter comes in and eats it. And I'm like, going, ah.
Right. You can be frustrated or you can solve the problem, but you can't
Yes.
do both.
Correct.
So if it's the daughter, have you talked to her about it and said, hey, I'm just going to let you know red lid stuff in our fridge is off limits to you? That's mine. I literally talked about this in the last call. When I prepared my shit for the candy challenge, I told my son, he got one of my blondies, and I looked at him clearly and I said, all of these that I'm putting in here, they are mine. If you're going to want something, I will make sure you have something, but these are not for you. And I told him, I was like, hell to pay if you eat it. That's how it's going to roll. You don't have to pay hell, because I'm telling you right now how not to step into that shit storm.
Well, I forgot to label something. And then my daughter ate it. She says, well, there was no label on it. And I'm thinking,
That's true.
it was
All
true.
right. You just learned a lesson. Better label it.
I
Because she's
bought more
not
labels.
a mind reader. She doesn't walk in the fridge and be like, oh, that kind of food looks like mama's food. Like, I love how, like, when you are afraid that you're not going to get food, and when you're hungry, you're like, well, it makes complete sense why I graze, and it makes complete sense why I eat like an asshole, and it makes complete sense why I break all the rules and stuff. But then when it's your family and they're hungry and they don't know what to do, you're like, it's not good that they sit there and use their shitty brain. They should be enlightened. They should remember all the rules. They should prioritize me, not their immediate needs. Like everybody else, they should be logical. I'm the only one entitled to being illogical.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah. That's why, like, sometimes I tell y'all, you gotta have compassion. Your husband is rolling up in there hungry, scouting for food and grabbing the first thing he sees. He's not sitting there having like a, I should take a permission plus pause moment and do some deep breathing and look and see what is available to me. No. So there are things you can do, but I think the main one is if your biggest problem is that on Wednesdays, it's got nothing to do with, like, I love how I eat on Tuesdays and Thursdays. If all it is I lose control because I eat at 11 and I lose control when my husband eats my food, fix the obvious problem. Come up with 1,000 ways you can solve it. I can make two, I could make four. I could make backups for my daughter. I could actually buy real labels, not like lidded stuff. I could put placards in my refrigerator that says, daughter, if you're hungry, eat from this selection. Husband, if you're hungry, eat from this selection. Everybody else who touches this section will lose a hand. We're going old school here. You touch my food, you lose a hand. It's Old Testament time up in this house.
I love it.
But like,
All right.
yes. So we're going to have a conversation. But the main thing, the only other thing I would suggest is if eating at 9, 3, and 5 has led you to having a lot of control around food, maybe you should just do it on Wednesdays too. Maybe you should actually just have breakfast. And then maybe you don't have to go all the way to 3, but then maybe you have like lunch around 1 or 2. Because I think what happens for you is, and a lot of people think they're not hungry for breakfast, but you've just for like, there's two things that happen in the mornings. One, we have our best, most logical brain operating because we've slept. So all night long, our brain is like cleared out the doo-doo, and we're waking up with the most amount of decision making we can actually make. So some of us just hit the ground running in the mornings. And so we're, I actually need food, but for so long we've overrode it to be busy, to get started for the day. We have the most motivation and willpower and everything. We don't eat. And then we eventually kind of like adopt this idea we don't need to eat. And eventually we just shut our like signals down. But if that is leading you to where if one thing goes wrong, when it's time to eat, like my husband ate my food, that the only thing I can do is overreact, eat like a crazed person, have to slam the refrigerator shut, graze all day. I probably am going into that meal way too hungry and I don't even know it. So I would just start eating breakfast and
Okay.
see after a few times if having breakfast actually makes the next meal easier when things go wrong. Because I'm just under a, I know a lot of you don't like to eat breakfast, but I have just seen more and more women do better if they will just eat three meals a day. Stop skipping the breakfast. Start with a good one. I used to not eat breakfast for a long time. There was like, and I, you can go back and like 5 years ago probably and listen to videos. I didn't eat breakfast. I didn't think I needed it. But then about, I guess it's at least a couple of years ago, maybe three, I started purposely eating breakfast even though I wasn't hungry because what I was noticing was that late in the afternoon, I was running out of energy. And I don't have a job that ends at 3 o'clock. I have a job that ends at about 9 p.m. When you run three companies, you working from the moment you get up until practically you go to bed. Now, I may not be sitting there going cat memeing all night long, but so often my calls, my shit has to happen. Like, you know, if my team needs me at 7 o'clock at night because, you know, the computers took a dump, I got to work. I don't have the luxury of saying, call me tomorrow. And what I realized is like, I was flaming out around three, barely able to think. Working at half capacity and not being able to get all the things done that I really need to get done to stay on top of stuff. So I added breakfast in and it changed everything for me. And now I eat breakfast almost every day. Today was a rare exception. My son was throwing up. I had to roll straight into getting ready. I had to prepare for my next call after this. And it was either eat or prepare for a call that was not going to be canceled. And there's hundreds of people coming to it. So I ate my breakfast at 12:05. I didn't love it, but I also, because I do it so infrequently, I didn't lose control. I won't lose control tonight because I will be reminding myself, this rarely happens. You will be okay. I don't have to make up for anything. Tomorrow we're back on regular plan. I do a lot of reassuring myself. And my brain will ask the same things yours has been asking. My brain will say, you know, well, you didn't get much this morning. You could have a little extra. And I'll be like, I absolutely could. I'm just not going to.
Thank you.
All right. Let's try that and see what happens. Try eating breakfast. Just try eating breakfast and then reminding yourself, like, I don't need to be so hypervigilant about my hypoglycemia. I think what I've done is actually solve the problem. I know how to deal with it. And it's not going, like, that's not going to happen. If it does happen, it's probably because something weird happened, not just normal life. Okay.
Got it.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, my mouse died. All right. Let's see. Let me get to my Tammy. Hey, Tammy.
Yeah.
What you
I
want to
couldn't
coach
reach your
on?
buttons.
That's
Good.
all right. What you want to
So
coach on?
I've been here since 2018, and I've been in maintenance for a little less than a year. So my adult son got married last weekend, and I've been spinning this in my head all week. So I decided this is actually the first time I've been coached in 7 years.
Oh,
Anyway,
wow.
I know. I involved the kids in this. I got to my maintenance and I decided I wanted to, we kind of called it Operation Bicep, and I wanted to wear a sleeveless mother of the groom dress. Well, I succeeded too well. I know that sounds weird. My ex-husband was being a pig at the wedding in terms of saying stuff to the kids. They were getting upset. He was saying stuff to my parent. I mean, he was just kind of being a jerk.
Yeah.
And obviously, I know I can't control his behavior,
No.
but I don't know why it's bothering me.
Like the only time he crosses my mind, we've been divorced for 18 years, seriously.
I think I might know why it's bothering you.
Okay, good. Just help me. It just, I don't, his opinion doesn't matter to me, but maybe it does. But it really upset the kids, and I feel like that's why.
That's why it's bothering you.
Okay.
Because it upset your children. If it was just about you and you don't really care about it, it'd be like if my ex-husband showed up to something and he said a bunch of shit
Yeah.
to, I don't know, anybody. Like, let's say we
Yeah.
were just at a function. It would not bother me 1 ounce.
Right.
Because I just think
Right.
he's a douchebag and I don't think his opinion's really valuable or anything like that because he really is a douchebag. So it's a fact.
Yeah, oh,
But
it is a fact as well.
yes. But if he came up and he said a bunch of shit with Logan and Logan was upset about it, and especially if it was an important day to Logan and our family, and this guy was, you know, making a muck, well, yeah, I'd be upset. I'd be upset a lot. Why is it, I mean, other than you just not liking it, why is it a problem that you're upset that your douchebag ex-husband, like, pretty much poo-pooed on the wedding day and
I
upset your
feel,
kids? How else are you supposed to feel about it?
well, that's true. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's true. I feel like we've been divorced 18 years. Like I said, I feel like I've run so much interference and coached the kids. They're all amazing adults.
Yeah.
That I guess that it's still, I don't even know. I don't, and that's why I've like just ruminated on this all week. And usually I can sort of self-coach myself out of these things, but it's like, Jesus Christ, why are we still dealing with this and a year ago at the last kid's
And
wedding?
we know exactly why we're still dealing with this. I will tell you why. Maybe this thought will help you. He's an ass. He'll always be an ass. And every time you have to include an asshole in a situation, it's hard. That's why we're still dealing with it, because we still have kids having kids or getting married. And
Yeah.
eventually they're going to have their own kids. Now we're going to have births. We're going to have like all kinds of things. Like, that's why it's bothersome,
Okay.
because like we just have to have what we call a healthy level of bothered.
I
And
think
we just
that's
need
why
to
this
see
week was
kind of
rough.
where you're at. We just need to see where you're at with it. I've not heard anything that's not unhealthy other than you're judging you for ruminating on it.
Okay.
And I think it's only because you've been trying to solve why does this keep bothering me? It's like, well, he's an asshole. We know exactly why. He upsets my kids at important events. How else should I feel? Should I just be like, well, it's your dad, and I've coached all of you, so we should all just be sitting around on a pillow going, that's just daddy. Like,
That does get said occasionally, well, it's dad, you know, but
yeah.
okay.
So
Yeah.
sometimes y'all can overlook when he's a douchebag. And then there might be other times where there are just your kids can't. They think he should be different in this situation. Like if it's a wedding, he should be different. But he thinks, I'm just dad. I'm just going to be like I always am. He's, you know, the biggest problem we have is the one person who needs to change ain't going to.
No. No.
So.
Yeah, and I
So let
think
me.
that's why I was like I know that. Obviously, I've come to that conclusion at this point. And I think that was like maybe why it was upsetting me is why like maybe some part of me was expecting at this event he would be different. I know that's not going to happen because this isn't the first wedding. This won't be the last
Yeah,
stupid event of his.
right. But this is what I want to offer you. Just because we know someone's going to be a jerk, it doesn't mean that when they're a jerk, we feel happy about it.
Okay.
We still don't like their behavior. It's just like my dad. I know my dad and every shortcoming he has. He is so like shallow. He doesn't know how to love. He's very, I mean, I can't even explain my father. I think if y'all ever met my father, you would be completely shocked. that I share DNA with this man. We're so polar opposite. And it doesn't mean that when I talk to him and he, I'm gonna give you a really good example. So I have a grand, his mother, she's a piece of work. When we were little, they had, I wouldn't, they're not rich, but they had money and we had none. And my mother was, you know, we were having to sleep at hotels while my mother worked. And I mean, I was like 5 years old. We would have to stay home by ourselves and I'd have to babysit my 3-year-old brother because she couldn't afford a babysitter. And she just had to hope a 5-year-old had enough capacity to take care of a 3-year-old all day because she didn't work, we didn't eat. They lived 5 miles away, refused to ever help, refused to pay, no child support, wouldn't even come see us. That was how I grew up. Then, like once a year, we would go and visit. And we were just talking about this last weekend when my mother and my brother and I were together. And I told my brother, I said, you know, he doesn't remember a lot. I do. And so he still calls her and talks to her. I don't want to. We were, the reason why we were even talking about it was I said, I'm really good with not talking to Betty Lou ever again. And I know she's probably going to die, but I have really thought about this. I will not regret my decision. I don't hate her. I understand why they are like they are, but I just don't want to be around it. I have too much as back in the, what was that movie? The Patsy Cline story, too much whiskey under the bridge. Like I'm not putting myself in that position anymore. And I looked at my brother and I said, you know, I think our experiences are different. I think it's easier for you to talk to them because I had to, like, I was the one that had to be the adult when we would go down there. I was the one that had to call mama and say, get us out of here. It's dangerous. Somebody wants to beat us. Somebody wants to do this, whatever it was. And I said, and I don't think you remember, but you were really sensitive. And so I couldn't afford to be sensitive when we were kids. I had to set aside how I felt, and I had to be an adult in a, like every minute we were down there. And he said, well, it's funny you said that because I was talking to Betty Lou the other day. And every time he talks to her, she says, I just don't understand why your sister won't call. I don't understand why she won't talk to me, blah, blah, blah. And he said, I just finally got an asshole. And I told her, I know why. You treated her like shit the entire time we were growing up. She remembers, I don't. And so, just because I'm enlightened and just because I understand all of this, it doesn't mean that there's not a part of me that still hates it or who thinks it was wrong. I'm not happy, but I'm not consumed or anything. I feel like I now have what we call normal emotions about it. I should be disappointed that I didn't get the childhood many people get. But I don't eat over it. I don't do all that stuff. And I think that's what's happening with you and your ex-husband. It's like he doesn't affect me anymore. But when we have these situations, I am reminded of exactly why I'm not with the man. He shows his colors, and I don't like it. And that's fine. That's normal. And it's also normal for your kids to not like it too. It's normal for you to hate it for them. It's normal for you to, you know, sometimes wish that stuff didn't happen. I don't think anything's wrong with that stuff. I think it becomes wrong when we either try to make it mean I must not have done my work, because I'm feeling normal human emotions. So then now I've got this weird energy, this unnecessary suffering, as if I'm doing it wrong. instead of he's just wrong and that's all that's happening. And then there's the other part of if you were to, which I don't get the energy from you, if you were making it mean, like he said these things, I'm so pissed, he should be different. You're not even doing that. That would
Yeah.
feel terrible. You've
That ship
already
sailed a long
accepted
time
he
ago.
isn't going to be different. And I'm not shocked that he's acting this way. I wish he wouldn't, but like I know it's going to happen. Or if you were to somehow take it personally, like, you know, sometimes we kind of agree with other people's shitty opinions when we haven't done our work on, like, if he's saying, like, you're a bad mom, you start questioning, have you done enough? That's the stuff we want to work on. But I'm just getting a sense from you that you've done an awful lot of work on him
A
and
lot.
that from now, like, for a long time, there's going to be events. And you just need to go in, like, I am very confident that I have moved past this man, but that doesn't mean that his behaviors don't irritate the fuck out of me either.
Yeah. I think that is what you said was what I was feeling is like he doesn't occupy space in my brain until he affects the kids. But I think that this was upsetting me so much. I was trying to determine if I was making it, I was subconsciously making it mean something about me. You
Let
know
me
what I
ask you
mean?
this. When the kids were really upset, what were you thinking?
I was so angry that he was bringing that to this wedding. And putting them, and well, and also putting them in the position that they felt they had to defend me, because they all did. They all said she's worked hard and walked away. But you know, I think also every single behavior of theirs towards him comes at a price. They will pay next week, next year, at Christmas. Who knows? He's just gonna save that retaliation at some point. So I think that is kind of in my head is like, okay, now I need to be prepared for the fallout from this down the road to help them talk them through it again, kind of a thing. So maybe there's a little bit of that.
Well, I think I think that's actually good.
Okay.
Like, I think there's two things that we can do here. Number one is just recognize, you kind of know his patterns and you know what's going, like you can anticipate kind of the things that are going to happen. We call it obstacles and strategies where you plan goals. This is the same thing. He's an obstacle. His retribution is an obstacle. And we just need strategies. And I think you have them. Like, I can be there for my kids. You know, you just wish that they didn't have to go through it.
Right, of course.
And I think that that's normal. And then I think the other part is I just want to ask you this. When he acts the way he does, and then your kids are pitted in the middle, and you get angry that he's put like that. I don't think he puts them in the middle, and maybe this thought will help you. They choose to be in the middle because they love you so much. Like, they're just like, they have had so much help from you, understanding that you have worked hard and all these other things that when he says stuff, they're like, no, I draw the line there. You can do a lot of things. But you're not gonna talk like about my mother like that, or whatever it is that they do,
Yeah,
right? Now,
that's
we
good.
can work on your anger about your thought, he's putting them in the middle. If you want to, this is where we choose. Do you want to just be angry and understand, I choose to be angry about this, or you get to pick how you would like to feel when it happens. So you
Okay.
could choose a different emotion that when he does this and my kids defend me or whatever it is they're doing, I would like to think and feel this about that situation for me.
Okay.
Sometimes we like for me, like when my dad's a douche, I want to be angry.
Right.
I always tell myself, this is the kind of shit I want to be angry about. And I'm okay with that because I know how to deal with my anger now. I don't
Okay.
have to eat over it and crap. Used to, I'd be afraid to be angry about things because I only knew one way, eat. Now I'm like, no, I'm gonna be angry and I'm gonna talk to my friends about it. Like I've got other outlets for this anger now. So I'm fine with having it. Or you get to decide, you know, when my kids do that, I wanna feel, you know, whatever it is. Like could you pick a feeling or do you wanna be angry?
I think you said something that kind of resonated a little bit is that I think I was worried I was the one putting them in the middle by back in the day, like right after we, like making them choose sides and you know what I mean? Like I feel like I think that might be what I was feeling is that by me being angry, that made them defend me on some level and put them in the middle and set them up for that retribution down the road.
No, I don't think that's what's happening at all. By the way you've described it, I think the only thing that's happening is your kids love you and they don't like it when somebody's talking bad about their mother, even if it's their father. It doesn't matter how angry you were, it don't matter the words you said, nothing like that. Your kids are making their own decisions. They're very grown. They had their own experience through all of this, no matter how the two of you acted. And they formed their own opinions about it. And they're choosing right now to defend their mother. I don't think they saw the anger. I think
No.
they saw exactly what you told me. They saw you working really hard to get your life going, to, you know, overcome whatever it was. And now when he's talking smack, they're like, that's a no. And they're rightfully doing that. That's their choice. And it's just like it's your choice to decide whether or not it's your fault that they're in the middle or if it's they're choosing because they love you.
That feels way better. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably, I would imagine.
Because I was super, super like that was my goal when we were going through all this. Because obviously, I mean, like I said, it was a bazillion years ago. My kids were like 7, 8, and 10. And that was my goal was to just not ever say a bad word and let them make their decisions based on the facts from their observation, obviously coach them through it and work them through it. And it felt like I was sort of going back on that promise to myself.
And that's just not true.
You're right. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Just prepare for the next wedding, I guess.
I know, I know. Well, the next wedding is with my other ex-husband, so we'll deal with that one next year.
Gosh. Hopefully, he's a little bit better than the first one. Oh,
He's worse.
wow. Well, good luck on that.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. There's a question. Hang on a second. Let me check this. Okay. Just to make sure I didn't run over on time. The question was, what happened to the podcast about holiday eating? I'm not sure which podcast you're talking about, Anonymous. Can you just type in the chat what you're talking about? Oh, I bet you're coming for the next one that starts at 2 p.m. Central Time. So I know that my maintenance people are here. I've been trying to keep this secret from the membership because I know y'all love to come to anything and everything that I do in when it comes to weight loss. But I do have a class starting at 2 o'clock for people who are not members to teach them about holiday eating. For all of my members, that class is going to start at 2, Anonymous. For all of my members, you do not need to come to this class. I will be going over like some of what we're going to be spending November and December doing together. So and I'm very excited to announce it, but I rewrote the entire holiday program this year, and it is So good. We're going to do our normal kickoff workshop on November 2nd. So I will be workshopping with all of you. It's probably going to be about 3 hours instead of the really long ones that we do, because I kept it to just four key lessons. Because what we're doing different this time is there are 9 lessons for holiday eating this year. And I interviewed y'all probably 2 or 3 months ago to ask about holidays and like what's hard for you and stuff. And I took all of that information and I found like the 8 things that y'all said are the hardest parts of losing weight during the holidays. And that is what we're going to spend November and December on. Every week, there is a new lesson. It's about food pushers, grief, all kinds of things. I shot all of it yesterday. That was my fun Saturday. Was filming, filming, filming so that we would be ready to go. I'm going to teach the workshop live. I'm actually teaching the classes live in that one. We're not going to watch a video. And then you will get a weekly drop. You'll be able to watch it all up front if you want to, but the way that it's going to work is every week, all of the little Corinne 365s will be all about that one topic. This is to help you make sure that you can lose weight during the holidays. And this has got some really good kind of new information mixed with some of our old information in it. So I think it's going to help everybody lose 10 pounds during the holidays. I just feel really good about this program. So anonymous, I think that's what you were asking. This group happens to be anonymous. All of my people that have lost their weight and are keeping it off. And as of right now, there's over 100 of us. There's 139 of us right now in here who have, these are just a portion of all my maintenance members. We do a monthly call together where we talk maintenance stuff. We talk about the things that people need to work through so that they can keep their weight off and stuff like that. So, with that, we are done for the day. Nobody else needs coaching. So, I will see all of you next month. Maintenance people, if you're doing the treat challenge starting tomorrow, I would do it. I think for y'all, it's even more important than it is for the people who are in the process of losing weight. Because a lot of times when we lose our weight, we still have a few things that we still are like our voodoo food, our no-no food, all that kind of stuff. It's even more important in maintenance to prove I really can eat anything I want to lose weight and keep it off. I think in maintenance, it's even more important for us to expose ourselves to foods that sometimes we end up withholding, thinking if I eat this, I'll gain my weight back. This is another good thing for you to do for yourself. So do it just like our members are doing it. And then go to your Facebook group if you want coaching on it. You can tag me. I am in all the Facebook groups. If I'm tagged, I am responding. It is very rare that I don't respond when somebody asks me for help or tags in a thread, "Hey Corinne, can y'all help us with this?" I am the one that goes in. And like I was talking about on the last call, I am in y'all's groups. I'm in Facebook almost every single day. It is very rare I'm not in there. So if you want my personal opinion, you want my help on something, you just have to post and tag me. You also have Ask Coaches where you can do a lot more back and forth. You can work with our coaches and things like that. But anytime y'all want my own knowledge on it, just go to the group. If you are not in Facebook and you're listening to this, you're like, "But I would really like to hear from Corinne." You just have to go to Ask Coaches. You type it in and say, "I would like Corinne's opinion on this." They always give it to me and then I answer it. All right, with that, y'all have a good one. I will see you later. Bye, y'all.